Welcome to Trent Voices, the Trent University Alumni Affairs show on Trent Radio. I'm your host, Donald Fraser of Alumni Affairs. It is Tuesday, November the 18th, and this is episode 23. For a minute there, I didn't know what the date was, but welcome to Trent Voices. Today on the show, we're taking a bit of a left-hand turn, where we usually talk to alumni who are changing the way we think of the world. Today, we're talking to a gentleman who's changing the way that we think of Trent University, and in particular, Trail College. He's been an archivist for the Library and Archives of Canada, the manager of virtual exhibitions and partnerships, and the manager of policy and partnerships for the Library and Archives of Canada. He's been chair of the Editorial Advisory Board for the Department of Canadian Heritage, a history consultant for Historica Canada, which is, I think that's just a heritage minute in its own right. He lectured at Carleton University in their public history MA program. Folks will recognize him around here as an adjunct professor at the Frost Center for Canadian Studies and Indigenous Studies, and as the principal of my old stomping grounds, Trail College. Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to welcome Professor Michael Eamon to Trent Voices today. Welcome, Michael.
Well, it's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. I'm pleased as punch. You're here representing Trail, and like a lot of people, I'm absolutely passionate about Trail College. I'm a Trail alum, so having you here is pretty exciting. What's new at Trail?
Well, there's lots of good things happening at Trail. We have our Trail visiting fellow who's just arriving this week. Since Trail became a graduate college, an endowment was set up to have a visiting fellow come in, and every year we have a different fellow. Last year we had two alumni actually as visiting fellows, and this year we have Dr. Paul Duro, who's our first cultural studies visiting fellow, and he'll be here giving a lecture on a Thursday evening, and then we have a college dinner on Friday night with him. So lots of things are happening.
It always feels, I'm going to get back to this. I don't want to harp on this too early, but it always feels just kind of right, like a college when we're there. But before we get to Trail, I want to talk about you for a second. I want to contextualize what's going on here. First of all, you're an adjunct professor at the Frost Center. What's your bailiwick? What's your area of
study,
academic kicking around?
One of the best jobs I ever had, other than being at Trail, was working for the National Archives, where I was a young historian and I thought I knew Canadian history. And then you work at the National Archives and you really get to know more about Canadian history. And so I've met multiple interests in Canadian history, but my most academic interest, that would be the history of the early press in Canada, English language newspapers, how they functioned, mm-hmm. how the communities that they, and they're not unlike the internet communities we have today, how the virtual communities of print, helped forge what early Canada was all about. So that's one of my academic interests.
Yep.
Having spent a lot of time for Parks Canada and Library and Archives Canada and Ontario Heritage Trust, Historica, things like that, I'm also really interested in commemoration, yep. and how we think about the past. And those people who have taken my public history course, mm-hmm. that will say, my mantra is public history is about the uses and abuses of the past in the present. And so it's all, I'm really fascinated also how we think about history, how we talk about history today.
Very cool. You're a guy. I pointed out you wear a lot of hats, and you're
a big head.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to go so far, but you started out, as a guy who wore funny hats, didn't you? Is that your starting?
nice segue. Yes, I did wear a shako, and all the people who are in the reenactment community are like, oh my God, he was a military reenactor. But yes, for my first job, when I was lucky enough as an undergraduate to work my way through Parks Canada as a historical interpreter, and that is someone who dresses up. I dressed up as a soldier. I shot off my mouth. I shot off my rifle. and saw literally hundreds of people every year and taught them Canadian history. And that's where I got the bug about talking about history in a flamboyant and fun way.
Yeah. And your background as an archivist, you love printed material, as you pointed out.
Hey, I met George Bush once, George W.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And a lot of people, don't know this about me, but when I worked for the National Archives, because I can talk, they would put me out for public relations type of things. And one day, George Bush visited Canada for 24 hours. He was only there for 24 hours, but he spent one of those hours at the Library and Archives Canada. So I actually got to meet him, put together a little exhibition for him. And it was all about baseball and the cattle ranching and all that kind of stuff that Bush would like, right? And at the end, he came up and we were told, don't look at the president, don't touch the president. And he came up and put his arm around me and gave me a hug. And he said, hey, Mike, thanks for researching me. So I think that's Bush talk for, and he didn't give me a nickname, so he didn't love me that much. He didn't call me Goober or anything like that. But he did say, thanks for researching me. And I think it meant that thanks for taking the time to figure out crap that I'd like and not the crap that I don't like.
You know, it's a good thing that it was Bush and not like the Queen, because, I mean, you would have been taken out at that point.
Yeah, no, exactly.
As soon as the contact happened, there would be no more Michael Eamon.
I have other stories I can share off mic about being felt up by the American Secret Service, but that's, you know, for another time. Anyways, all that to say that I was in a band at that time in Ottawa, and half my bandmates wouldn't talk to me. One guy wouldn't even touch my hand. And finally the guitarist said, well, you know, if I had the chance to meet Stalin, I guess I would have. So it's okay. I understand. Interesting. Bush, Stalin, I'm not sure.
Bush, Stalin. Where George Bush hasn't been?
Is this kind of like Cliff Clavin kind of question?
Double jeopardy here for
in
this.
In my kitchen. Where has
George Bush not been?
I don't know.
George Bush has never been to Trail College.
That is true.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you had this whole other career as an archivist.
Right.
And a historian as a civil servant type academic.
That's right. Yeah.
And then you chucked it all in and you came to Trent University.
I came to Trent University.
So how'd that go down?
Well, my wife, she's my sugar mama. And she basically got a tenure track job here back in 2002, 2003, when there were tenure track jobs going around. And she moved from Ottawa to Peterborough. Well, she commuted. And after a few years of that, we figured you can't have a family commuting between Ottawa and Peterborough. So I decided to pack it in, retire from the civil service, and come to Peterborough.
That's a good story. Okay. Now, Michael, I love you. I love you dearly.
Well, thank you.
But you know what? We got to talk trail.
Okay. Let's talk. So yeah, let's, enough about me.
Let's go from the present. Let's go way back into the past. So you're an archivist. You're a lover of history. You must be, you know, happy as well. I don't want to even tell you how happy you should be working at Trail, which is so steeped in history. Of our existing colleges, it is by far the most steeped in history. How does it feel to be working in
Trail? Well, it's an honor. It really is. I feel that I've really landed in something that really resonates with my soul, that Trail College is the oldest the remaining college at Trent University. And some people think, oh, 20, 50 years old, that isn't really old. But it really is, you know. And the Trent
It's Canada old,
and it has so many warm memories with so many students. And so it's great to be part of that heritage. I think the first week I was here, the class of 72 came by, and the class of 72 is great at Trail. They meet every year, and they have a huge reunion. And they came by, and they wanted me to give a tour to them. And so it was great. I was giving a tour one weekend as principal of Trail. And so I just listened to all the stories, and they gave me a tour, and I hung out with them. And I just feel such a deep honor that to be at a university, any university is great in Ontario, but to be Trent is special because the students make it special. They have such warm memories of Trent, and they're so connected to it. I've never seen a university like that.
Instead of the army reenactment, you should have worn a bonnet.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah.
So for those who don't know, and not everyone does know the history of Trail, I mean, it's an important part of Peterborough, it's an important part of Trent, but that doesn't mean that people know the history. Tell us a little bit about, you. First of all, you wrote a wonderful article just earlier this academic year, aptly titled A Brief History of Trail. And you've had the joy of delving in. Tell us a little bit about the buildings and the location of Trail.
Yeah.
What was there? What was it before it was a college? What was there?
Well, it was a drumlin, and a long time ago, there was near the great Anishinaabe portage between Chemung Lake and Little Lake. And so, you know, there's been humans moving by that drumlin for a very long time. 1818, if you want to get European and technical, that's where the Smith settlement was. The Cumberland people from Cumberland in England started the first settlement in Peterborough there. And then after Peter Robinson, that guy, brought over the Robinson settlers, up being on the hill, you know, the rich people like to be on the hill. So it became a very prominent space in Peterborough with a lot of nice homes. And you can still see those nice homes today. So by the time Trail came rolling around, some of those nice homes had seen their better days. And so many of them had been homes of bankers and businessmen in town. And they'd been converted into apartments, such as Scott House. Scott House had been totally had the Peterborough reno and had become totally apartments. And so Trent kind of reinvigorated by turning Scott House into what was originally Trail College. Trail College was Scott House.
Mm-hmm.
They renovated the apartment buildings and made it into a space for the original principal and a few women students. And then Professor Simon's gone on a big, as he does, spree of expansion and turned the whole top of that drumlin into Trent University, which I think is cool because Trent University, there's seven Drumlins mm-hmm. in this town, and Trent kind of has claim to two of them. So I think that's pretty cool.
It would have looked vastly different. So yeah. I mean, there was no new buildings the way that we had it there. And there was a road that ran through it.
That's right. Rubik Street actually continued through the middle of it. And so I think it's really great. And I think if they see this in the article, that there's three centuries of settler development on that hill. So the oldest home, Kerr House, or Carr House, goes right back to the 1850s. And then we have all the modern buildings that Ron Tom designed, Wallace Hall. And then we have Banyani Hall from, 2010. So we have three centuries of architecture that Trent has in that site. And I think of all the colleges, it's experienced the most expansion, contraction, renovation, change of all the other colleges that still exist.
Now, not a lot of people will know this, but it wasn't always coeducational. It was a women's college to begin with. How was that taken at the time? How was that received?
I think well, because I think the whole idea of it was that, at Oxford and Cambridge, there are separate colleges. In that model, it was more that the women grudgingly, in some men's ideas, came along and we had to put them in spaces and we didn't want to put them with the men. In Trent, it was a totally different perspective that in the 60s, accessibility was not the same word as it means today. So today we think accessibility is people with disabilities, giving them more accessible places to be or having more diverse spaces. Back in the 60s, accessibility was like, let's have women in the universities. Let's make it a safe space, a welcoming space for women and increase numbers. And so Trail College then became that safe, welcoming space, not to isolate women necessarily from mm-hmm. the men, but to give them a space of their own. Now, of course, that didn't last that long. The enrollments were so large at Trent that Peter Robinson, Trail, Lady Eaton, Champlain, all of whom were singularly male or female colleges, they all became coeducational by the early 1970s.
I've heard stories of guys being snuck in. Have you heard any of these?
Oh, yeah, totally. And that's, I think also Tom Simons was smart for, Peter Robinson, Sadler House, all that was on George Street, which was a busy type of street. On the top of the fancy Drumlin, a lot of people are like, what the heck is this guy doing? And we don't want rowdy co-eds there. So by making it also an all-female college, I think was also a strategic move to tell the neighbors, hey, look, these women are nice. They're not going to rock the boat. And indeed, they behave themselves. And Tom Simons started the expansion. And then before the neighbors knew it, they had full-fledged university on their doorstep. But I think
they snuck the dudes in.
And that's right. The dudes got snuck in, and that happened at Lady Eaton, too. The dudes got snuck in. All the other colleges that were, quote-unquote, male or female, there was a lot of sneaking going on. It was the 60s.
I love talking to the people in the 60s, and they have, there's this glint in their eyes. They talk about their misadventures at Trent. And I can only imagine, Scott House and people being snuck up the stairs, and the principal at the time with a hawkish gaze.
Well, Marion Fry would not have put up with any shenanigans, I can tell you that. She's a lovely woman and still here in Peterborough, but I know she wouldn't have put up with any shenanigans. However, there are many tales about Trail, ghost stories, other things like that. And there's a ghost supposedly in Scott House, the gray or blue lady that walks around Scott House. Honestly, what scared me the most was the tales from the class of 72 who had told us they had been fully co-ed by 72. And the sauna that was in the basement for women only had become co-ed too. And, the ghosts don't scare me, but I still don't go down to that sauna.
Yeah, I've heard rumors. We were sitting around at Trail after a talk at Banyani Hall. We were down in the trend and we were talking about this. And the eyes of the women that were sitting around the table, they were immediately, just open completely. Can you imagine this in the year 2015, there being some co-ed saunas at Trail?
At Trail and other colleges too. It was, if you had your fill of your co-ed sauna at Trail, you could head up to Champlain or head the others. Yes, it was a different age.
Well, it's interesting though. So that seems to be very progressive, but at the same time, the snapshot that the BuzzFeed phrase that we always hear is that Trent was the Oxford on the autonomy. And you're a Cambridge guy.
I'm a Cambridge guy.
You're a grad of Cambridge, and so here you are at the Oxford on the Autonomy. There should be a little bit of rivalry going on in your soul right now. But what's that juxtaposition? So we've got a very progressive notion, meeting a very conservative notion, being Oxfordian.
And that's what's so beautiful about Trent. By the way, I know how to punt. A punt for all those people out there. I know the right way to do it, unlike those Oxonians. But one of the greatest things about Trent is that it became this fusion of tradition and modernity. And so it had this such a youthful president, youthful architect. Everybody mm-hmm. on the team was under 40, right? Ron Tom was 40. Tom Simons was 33. You had these young people there. So there's this youthful energy of the 60s come crashing into the understanding that education is based on tradition and legacy. And so it was this wonderful mix of legacy. And so I think it's wonderful. And I'm not going to split hairs about the Oxford or Cambridge side. I think it's just wonderful that there's this sense that this type of education, even though 800 years old, is still relevant today. And that's what they thought 50 years ago. And what was really unique about Trent, it was fully formed as a collegiate university. Yeah. Most collegiate universities takes hundreds of years to add on additional colleges and become a collegiate mm-hmm. university. For a town of 55,000 people in 1964 to have a fully formed collegiate university there, people around the world are amazed by it. And I was at a collegiate conference in Britain last year, and they said the newest universities in the world are fully formed collegiate universities in Singapore and in China mm-hmm. and Macau, where they have tons of money. And so they were just gobsmacked to think that little old Peterborough could have done this 50 years ago.
I think we've always been progressive. So let's go back to this being, a progressive notion, a women's college mm-hmm. at Trail. Does any of that vibe linger on? I mean, this is a new idea. It was definitely a very different feel for a college campus setting. Do you think any of that lingers on at Trail?
I think so. Part of it's in the architecture. Part mm-hmm. of it is in a spirit that's organic. I try to say that Trail was born of alternate voices, and at its soul, I think it's a feminine mm-hmm. soul. And I think that it has, especially even after the closure of Peter Robinson, has become even stronger a space for alternate voices. It's a place, all of Trent is wonderful and all the colleges are great, but diversity is also important. And I think that Trail becomes a counter space for mm-hmm. if you're kind of upset with the main campus or downtown or other things in your life, you can come to Trail as an oasis, a counter space away from that, and have your soul replenished and then have this sense that I'm different, I'm alternative, and that's okay.
And it is a place to replenish the soul. A lot of people don't realize that you can come and hang out at Trail. And not only can you hang out at Trail, but you've probably got one of the best hangout spots at Trent. This wonderful little gem, the Bee at Trent.
Yeah, the Trent has been there since 1968, just mm-hmm. after 1968. And it's funny because there's been complaints about the noise of the Trent almost as soon as it opened, right? Yeah. But it is also a great space. It is the lifeblood of the college. It's food and fellowship. People knew 800 years ago the importance of eating, education, bringing people together, mm-hmm. having good times, especially if you're in a cold cloister. It's nice to have a warm place to eat. And the Trent offers that. It's a space for people, not just grad students, but it's full of undergraduates on any given day as well.
And the food. I mean, the food's fantastic.
Oh, it's the cheapest, best food you can get, and cheapest not in quality, cheapest in price, best food you can get.
I don't know if I should be telling people this. People are going to be coming in hordes.
Yeah, I know exactly, but that's okay. I don't mind the hordes.
So you bring up food. Earlier this summer, I was at Pizza Day, which is no longer, right?
Yes.
It's now, is it B-Day now?
Well, B has promised they'll have some sort of Pizza Friday substitute. So back up, say when B is closed during the summer because it can't operate as a kitchen in the summer, I had Pizza Fridays where we brought pizza in. So fast forward to now. Okay.
Okay. So Pizza Day, which again, it was the summer get together. I attended and I was blown away. It reminded me of the college experience that I had in the early 90s. So we had academics there, we had staff there. Marilyn Burns, head of communications, was sitting there, sitting in Tom Simon's chair. Yeah. There were students, there were grad students, there were undergraduate students, there were community members, all sitting around, hanging out, eating food. Now, if you'd replaced the pizza with sherry, and maybe found a few gowns, this would have been the exact same thing that was happening, in 64, 65, 66. So tell me a bit about how Trail has maintained that you know, original college feel, that original spirit.
Oh, thank you. That's the biggest compliment anyone can give me, because I appreciate that, because it's very simple for me. You know, all you need is time and space. You need to give your time to the students, mm-hmm. and the staff and faculty, and bring them together and have a safe, welcoming space to do that in. And whether you're serving pizza or tea, like the big thing used to be the trail teas on Thursday. That was huge. But I tried to do some trail teas and no one wanted to come out for them in the same way. And so what is the 21st century solution? Pizza. Right? And so it's all about boiling it down to first principles. What is at the core of getting together? Is it the wearing the gowns that's important, or is it the getting together of, as you said, a great cross-section of interdisciplinarity, mm-hmm. of also intergenerations? That's what colleges are about. And that's the type of thing that a lot of universities are missing. Students go into their class throughout Ontario and elsewhere, go out of their class, they barely interact with each other. The only interaction with an older generation is their professor, and that's very, temporary. What the college is all about is lasting, meaningful interactions where people can take a moment, be themselves, and then let conversation. Don't force a conversation. Let conversations and ideas happen.
And the conversations definitely do breathe. It was neat because the conversations weren't just academics, and there was some academic talk happening. It's inevitable when you're at a university, but it was cultural, it was social, there was talks about sports. And all of a sudden, academics are taken out of the context of the classroom and put into the context of community member or human being or friend or whatever, and you see the students really come alive because they recognize this person as a human being, and the educational process then goes forward because they're not a number; they're actually a voice. And
they can contribute, and they can feel a part of the community. And the word community means everything and nothing, but it truly is a community in the sense that people are coming together and they truly care about each other, and it means all the difference. Right?
There's two areas of community I really want to hit on, because I think of all the colleges, Trail has been the most successful in bridging that the divide between town and gown. Bringing people together. First of all, Banyeny Hall. Banyeny Hall is, for those who have not been to a lecture at Banyeny Hall, do. Just a one-word sentence, do. Because it is a place where there are regular lectures that are put on. Keep an eye on our events page. And it's where the Trent community and the Peterborough community come together and learn, and where academics and sometimes non-academics mm-hmm. are often giving community lectures. Tell me a bit about how Banyeny Hall came to be, because I think this vision of community is a big part of that original vision.
Well, Trail was not always a graduate college, right? It was a co-ed mm-hmm. undergraduate college until very recently, and the university decided to keep Trail and converted it for our larger cohorts of grad students that were arriving. And so back in 2008, certain properties, the idea was to sell off certain properties which were sold off at Trail and use funds from that and from the Banyeny Trust. So the Gilbert and Stuart Banyeny were two huge supporters of Trent University. Gilbert, a professor, Stuart as well taught, and the two of them, were just cornerstones of Trent. And when they died, a large chunk of their estate came to the university too, and that helped create this not only a lasting memorial, but this really important space for bringing people together, Banyeny Hall.
Very cool. Okay, two quick questions before I ask you if there's anything that you want to add. Two really quick questions. You alluded to the first one, ghosts. Yes or no? Trail College ghosts. Yes or no?
I wish, but no so
no,
far.
No so far.
There are some spirits in the Trend, let me tell you.
Yeah, I've had some.
Yeah, there we are. But I have yet to experience now. Who knows? Maybe I'll walk home mm-hmm. and see one now. But I have yet to see a ghost at
When Bradburn House was still there, there mm-hmm. was rumors of ghosts upstairs. Well, I mean, Bradburn's still there. It's not ours. And I had some bejesus scared out of me. But I think it was mostly the tales more than anything else. Okay. question number two. I park beside a car that has Hogwarts alumni written all the time, and as a bumper sticker. And people always make this Trent Hogwarts comparison. Thank you, Ron Tom, for building a castle.
Yeah.
Okay, Trail. What house would Trail be?
I was thinking about this. This is a tough one. It's clearly not Slytherin or Gryffindor, because those were also founded colleges or houses. I would say probably Helga Hufflepuff.
Yes.
Because there's also Rowena Ravenclaw, right?
Yes.
But she was kind of prickly, Scottish, nothing wrong with the Scots, but Scottish prickly, medieval witch type of thing. Whereas Helga Hufflepuff, she's kind of plumper, friendly, nice, open to everyone. And that's kind of the Catherine Parr Trail, how Catherine Parr Trail was and the Trail Way. think.
And Hufflepuffs are loyal.
Yes.
I think that we've been loyal to a lot of things, the mission of the university, to the community itself. We're running out of time, and I want to make sure that we address it. Is there anything that you need to get out? Any shout outs that you need to get out?
Well, I just want everybody to come and experience Trail if they haven't. You know, we have printing labs, we have facilities, we have Wi-Fi, we have all the things, most of the things that the main campus has, and we're closer downtown. So come out.
Yeah.
We have lots of activities and fun as well. Trail is going under review, an external review. The president of the university has said that he would like to review what the future of Trail will be. And so I would like people to be present and keep their ears open, and when the call comes, if you have an opinion about Trail, to make it, because this is the year that we need to talk about Trail and what we love and what we want to see fixed.
You heard that here first, folks. Do get involved. And if you have any questions about how you can get involved, or you have any questions about Trail College itself, get a hold of Michael Lehman. Just, dial the Trent switchboard, and the nice electronic lady will answer the phone,
bling.
And you say bling, and you just say Michael Lehman, and you'll end up at the right spot. Thank you very much, Michael Lehman. One last thing, though, because we've got approximately 2 extra minutes. You're also the director of continuing ed Trent. And in 30 seconds, tell us what continuing education is. And what courses are coming up?
All right. Continuing education for me is exactly what Trent is supposed to be all about. It's about lifelong learning. It's about knowing in part and trying to add more and more and learning a little bit more. So for people who have, these are non-credit courses that people can sign up for, and classes to keep their minds fresh. It's mainly 65 plus, but anyone can sign up for these classes. We have one term in the fall, and our next term will be starting in March. So if people are interested in continuing education, contact me, and we have a great choose-your-own-adventure way to let you in easy to getting back into the classroom.
Excellent. And any courses that you know of on the
My goodness. I think we'll probably run our Monsters course again. We have 60s music with David Tuff that will probably be on board. Lots of forensics there. You know, that's a popular one. Speculative fiction. Lots of great courses coming up.
I'm going to plug that Dave Tuff one. The guy's a rock and roll encyclopedia.
I know. And who wouldn't want to take a course?
No, I know. It's like, hey, maybe he'll just bring he could just sing the course. Really.
Oh, basically, yeah.
Michael Lehman, it has been a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being here. Thanks for representing Trail, and thanks for flying the flag.
Hey, no, thank you for having me. This is great.
Once again, this has been Donald Fraser. My guest today has been Michael Lehman, the president, or the principal of Trail College. We're going to be back next week with more interviews, more fun. Thank you very much for listening. And if you have any questions about alumni affairs, be sure to give us a shout at Alumni House. Also, you can follow us on Facebook at Trent University Alumni Affairs, and on Twitter at Trent Alumni. We'll see you online, folks. Thanks, and have a great week.
Test, test, test. Check 1, 2, check 1, 2.
Make sure that you're loud.
Check 1, 2. My name is Charlie Watson.
My name is Bella.
And you're listening to Trent Radio 92.7.
FM.
Invisible and tall.
We're gonna sing some nursery rhymes to you.
Colorado, so how one was all.
Keep going.
Humpty
Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men get a pin Humpty together again. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Up Jack got and home to trot as fast as he could caper to old Dan Dom, who fixed his knob with vinegar and brown paper.
1, 2, 3, 4.
5. 6. 7. 9. 10.
10.
Counting with Mara Watson. 1.
2.
3.
3.
4.
4.
5.
5.
6.
7, 8. 1, 3, 4, 5, 5, 5.
Hey, I'm Ewan Curry from the Sheepdogs, and you're listening to Trent Radio. Never had a hand, more to step in with.
Holding up the law, I never felt so quiet to stand. Do you listen to Trent Radio?
No. I just don't understand Trent Radio.
Well then, you need one of these.
What is it?
The babelfish is small, yellow, leech-like, and probably the oddest thing in the universe. It feeds on brainwave energy, absorbing all unconscious frequencies and then excreting telepathically a matrix formed from the conscious frequencies and nerve signals picked up from the speech centers of the brain. The practical upshot of which is that if you stick...